We're going to carry on with our series, Parables of Jesus, and this evening we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4, so if you can turn there so long, Mark chapter 4 from verse 26. Now, I don't know if you have any stories from your parents that they keep on bringing up of things that you do. Well, my parents have got a long list, and I'm glad my dad was a deacon and never a pastor, because I would have been used as an illustration all the time. But one of the stories that my parents continuously bring up against me is the fact that they had brought this brand new fancy gardenia sprinkler. I don't know what was fancy about it, because when I pulled it apart, it had fancy settings, and it was like one of the state-of-the-art latest things, and it was incredible. Now, I've had a mind of trying to find out how things work. I love that. I sometimes can't put things back together again, but I know how they work. And I stripped this thing and found all the gears and the cogs and all sorts of things, and learned how that gardenia is not put together. I know how, what it looks like in the inside. So that keeps on getting brought out. But I've continuously looked at things that just catch my fascination of how it works, and I try and understand it. Some things, although it's been explained to me, is a complete mystery. The LP record, a piece of plastic that can play a song. I still want to know how they get that song in that thing. Okay, for those who are a little bit older, the cassette tape, magnetic thing, the CD, you know, going on into an MP3 code that can play that music exactly as the studio had recorded it. It's amazing how it takes place. The other one is a school project. Ever had to grow a bean at school before? All right. Mine didn't last because I kept on picking that up every few minutes. I don't know if you were like that. The cotton wool kept on getting pulled apart. And I eventually, when the roots started to take place, I kind of kept on stripping the roots off where they I failed the project, so I swapped it with somebody else's. All right. So it was this fascination. And what we have here as the context is Jesus has been talking about this growth that takes place. And he's using agriculture around them to explain in parables to the disciples on what's going on. And he's talking about this continuous growth. And I've titled tonight, The Uncontrollable Growth. Context of this very parable, this is not a well-known parable. The other one of the sower is. And we see Mark, in fact, Mark is the only one that mentions the seed that grows, the growing seed. We see it's packed between two other stories of seeds. The first is that Jesus is referring to the disciples and the sower. And he's talking to the crowds, and he's talking about the sower who goes out to plant seeds. Now, it's a famous Sunday school lesson, and you would have heard it quite a bit, of the seeds that would have gone onto the road, onto the paving, and the birds that come up and eat it. The seeds that have thrown into shallow soil, that grow up but are wilted by the sun. The seeds that are thrown amongst the weeds, and the weeds come up and choke them. And the seeds that are thrown in the soil that's grown. And so Jesus explains this, speaks to the crowds on this. But we see he starts to pull the disciples aside here in Mark chapter 4. And he starts to give them understanding of what he's talking about. And he uses a series of different parables to explain and help them to understand. And the one that we're going to be dealing with tonight. But I want to highlight the next one that he does also highlight, is that the parable of the mustard seed. Not the smallest seed, but probably would have been one of the smallest seeds that the farmers or the Jews would have known. They could grow into an incredible bush, and the analogy here is of a tree that bears life, that allows shelter and for the birds to sit on. From something small, there's radical growth. So we see our parable tonight wedged between these two. Here. Now, one of the reasons why I think Jesus would have given this parable, the disciples would have just heard about the growing, throwing the seeds, scattering the seeds, growing, and you see this happening and the weeds coming and choking it, and this discouragement in ministry. We want to see incredible things for God's kingdom. They've seen Christ do these miracles. They've gone out, and yet don't see everyone following. We see some of the persecution, not quite at this point yet, but they're going to experience that persecution. And maybe they're at a place in their hearts where they're just discouraged. I don't know if you're discouraged. I don't know if there's somebody in your family or in your school or work that you've been sharing the gospel with and you've been praying for, and it just seems like nothing is happening. And you're at this place and you're just saying, God, what is going on? Well, Jesus starts this parable saying this, what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom, meaning the kingdom of God, where God, Christ is in reign, where Christ, where everything, he's given all. He's on throne in control over all. What happens? Well, when God is in reign, and he uses this parable. So turn with me to verse 26. It says this. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. In your name, amen. I want to simply look at two points tonight from this parable. One is that growth is not always seen. Growth is not always seen. And secondly, growth is sometimes slow. Growth is sometimes slow. My heart behind this, and I really believe like a key central message tonight is this, is that transformation from the seed to its fruit is the work of God. It really is. So we see it from this parable. Jesus uses the word, the seed. And the seed here as an example is the word. How many times do we go out and present the gospel, to present God's word, what Christ has done, his love, his grace, his mercy? How many times have we gone out to go to friends, colleagues, schoolmates, trying to live out a testimony, trying to shine the light for him, for his kingdom, to try to plant the seed, which is his word. Jesus uses the example of the farmer, the man who goes out. Now, the focus is not of him. We see that he just goes out and scatters, and we can argue around how is he scattering, what's he doing from given from the previous parable. But that's not the focus this time. The focus is what happens to the seed. He, in fact, uses the word here, says, though he does not know. Now, this is not saying that this farmer is dumb and just going, okay, let's see what happens. Kind of like my garden, let's see what happens. Okay? He's talking about something different here. He's saying that he does not know. He does not know how this transformation takes place. Scientists can know what, they can understand what takes place. They don't know how it happens. In fact, scientists have gone to a place where they've been able to take the exact same components and manufacture seeds that will look the exact same, and when placed with a real seed in the same ground, fertilized, germinated, all of that, the scientist's seed simply rots. It cannot be duplicated. How this growth comes. True transformation from seed to fruit is the work of God. We see that the farmer goes out here, and day and night, this progress is slow. It's day and night. He's going to a regular routine, morning, evening, morning, evening, morning, evening. Okay, and if he's anything like me, impatient, going and having a look, trying to find out what's going on, trying to see the ground, trying to pick up that cotton wool and saying, hey, check. But waiting for something to happen. All he can do is he can't disturb that soil. Something's taking place, and it's a matter of faith. He can maybe water it. He can maybe make sure that the ground remains free of weeds. Maybe try to fertilize. But there's nothing he can do for that growth. Absolutely nothing. He has to have the faith that something will happen. How many of you did the checkers, My Little Garden? I need to discover that it was made in Europe and the seasons of planting were totally wrong. And then you wish you hadn't grown that seed because you have to wait till winter. Okay? But you're sitting there watching this thing. impatient me, kind of like. I did that with my daughter, like trying to say to her each day, it'll happen, it'll happen. But there's no control over it. Absolutely no control. Paul uses the word here, Jesus uses the word here, all by itself. The Greek word here is automatic. We have to push that button and it opens the gate. My parents got those gates the day I left high school. The day I left school. I was the automatic the rest of the time. But it just happens. It takes place. You can't do anything about it. They found next to the deceased person in Egypt in one of the tombs. They found seeds in jars, seeds that are probably about 3,000 years old. Do you know that they planted those seeds and it started to grow and bear fruit after 3,000 years? It's out of our control. So what does this mean for us? Don't be discouraged. You may be at a place where you've been desperately praying for your family. You've been praying for your family member just to experience Christ, to know Christ as you know Him. And you're longing inside. You're longing to see that impact in your school. You're longing to see that impact in the university. You're longing to see that impact in your friend. And you've been praying, and maybe it's even one of your kids. And you've been longing, God, if only you can. And there's nothing we can do. We're simply called just to simply scatter the seeds, to spread the word. But that seed has incredible power. Even after 3,000 years, something special there. Transformation from seed to fruit is a work of God. And when you plant that word, God is doing something. It may be underground that you may never know what's actually taken place. You may never know. You may never know that tomorrow, maybe that little sprout is going to come out. That little stalk. You may never know. But it's a work of God. And we've got to continuously have faith in Him, continuously trusting in Him that God is faithful. God will continue to do the work. I've been amazed. I got given a pepper dew plant, and it's managed to survive. Not only has it managed to survive, I left some of the pepper dews on the tree and I broke them up and they were dry and let the seeds fall. Now I've got a massive amount of pepper dews from this one pot. It's brilliant. I love it. Okay. But it's just grown by itself. I've not done much. Trust me, I've not done much. A bit of watering every now and then. But yet so much has taken place. We serve a God who is able to. A God who works. A God who is at work. Let's continue trusting in Him. You may never know when that stalk is coming up. There's a story of a pastor living out in a country, served his church faithfully year after year. He went out into the community and he witnessed. He journeyed with people in the community and not just in his congregation. And he faithfully preached the gospel with very few conversions. And that pastor passed away thinking that his ministry was an absolute failure. When the new pastor came in, he came and he preached the gospel in the same way, and there was a mass revival that took place. God had used that work of that previous pastor, and many that came to know the Lord contributed their conversion to the previous pastor and what had taken place and the things he had done and said. God is working. Continue scattering the seed. Growth is sometimes slow. It can be frustrating to see. Sometimes I love that fact that when that seed manages to put up that little stalk and you get all excited, you see this green thing, and then it takes forever to grow. I was given a lemon tree by Anna, and she faithfully grew this thing. In fact, I got from Anna, I got a bottle of fertilizer, and she had made it herself. Even said, do not give kids to drink. I don't know what kind of person she thinks I am. She had done this, and she had grown this lemon tree from seed. And she had done that for about a year and a half for me. And eventually she felt that I was worthy enough to be entrusted with this tree. And I've still got it, and it's still alive, and it's almost as tall as me. And it's been growing, so you can tell her that if you see her. And what has happened, though, it just took forever. And it's been so slow. The parable goes on. Jesus says, you know, that it happens. And we see first the stalk that takes place. First the stalk, then the head, then the kernel of the head. See, there's a discipleship kind of basis, a growth that's taking place here. Now, I'm not saying that, I'm not going to read into the parable to say these are the three stages of Christian growth. But what do we see is growth is taking place. We're a church that not just believes in making disciples, but making disciple makers. We believe as Christians, we should be growing closer to God each day. We should be reaching the lost. It should be on our passion to share the gospel. I read a scary stat. In the United States, 90% of people in the church have not yet presented the gospel to anyone. We're called to share, to scatter the seeds. But we're called to grow as new babies. I don't know if you remember as when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That excitement that took place. That energy is this little young stalk that comes out in you. I can't wait to tell. I can't wait to grow more. And as you started reading the Bible, it was so incredible with the things that were just blowing your mind. And it started growing there, and we see that the kernel then comes. Place with greater understanding, greater potential that takes place, an opportunity to do so much more, meaning that there's purpose, there's growth, there's going to be fruit that's going to take place here. And then we see the kernel that is full in its head. What does it mean? It means that it's ready, that a place we're ready to spread the gospel, to go out and share so much more, to go and do this. Where are you in your stage of growth? Have you simply paused? See, we cannot control the growth because that's a work of God. But we need to create the environments for that growth. Just as we would need to keep on preparing the soil and taking the weeds out of that soil. Are we allowing sin to come up and start to strangle us? Are we allowing that to slip in? Are we entertaining that? Are we watering daily by the Word and spending time in His Word? Journeying through the Scriptures, are we doing that? Are we fellowshipping with others? We encourage you. We believe that home cells are so important. And we encourage each person that comes through this church to be part of a home cell. Fellowshipping with one another. Being around God's word with each other. Guiding, praying together, encouraging, testifying together, and journeying alongside. Are we part of a home cell? Are we part of a ministry? And in the area of greatest growth, is when you serve. When you serve others for God's kingdom. Particularly in Sunday school. You know, particularly with teenagers. Teach people that have Google and know how to get to it quicker than you can. Come join us. Because you can only grow someone as much as you've grown. So as a Sunday school teacher, as a pastor, you're encouraged to continuously grow. And I'm encouraged in them and see what's going on. And I want to grow more. Get involved with the young ones, the young kids that are asking real questions. All you need for the preschool ministry is a gift of martyrdom. But get involved in serving. Seeing God at work. I shared last week about just the joy of being able to see God grow in others. Been at this church 9 years. You're long-suffering. You really are. But it's incredible to see what God has been doing and watching others grow. Where are you at? Are you creating the right conditions for growth? Are you doing that? Growth is sometimes slow. And we see this goes. The internet started in 1968. And by 1971, the internet was accessed by 23 computers. Their dial-up speed must have been a bit faster than today. In 1984, it was accessed by 1,000 computers. 1989, 100,000. 1992, 1 million. 1995, 30 million. And today they've lost count. Small growth. God is doing something far bigger than we know. And we see this parable of the mustard seed right there. Something small to incredible growth. God is working, and it may seem very slow, but God is doing. And we see the parable talks about this harvest. When the end times come, we will see this incredible harvest of what God has done. For it is God who transforms from seed to fruit. It is His work. I want to leave you with a few verses. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, for we all have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but an imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. It's God's word in us. Hebrews 4 verse 12, the word of God is living and active. God hasn't stopped. He's still evolved and His work is there. And this is my last bit of encouragement in this. And Paul says 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6 to 7 says this, I planted the seeds, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, only God who makes things grow. Galatians 6 verse 9, let us not become easily weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. The growth may seem slow, but God is working. Let's have faith that something is happening under that soil, because He transforms from seed to fruit. Let's trust in Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You that, Lord, that scientists are still at the mystery, because we need You in creation. To think that You spoke things into being, that it's so in need of You. And Lord, I pray that as our heart, each person here, longs to see those who are lost come to know You. Lord, help us to be faithful in scattering Your word. To keep on going when we don't see anything happening. And that, Lord, we have faith that You would water, You would do something in that seed. That Your word would come and bear fruit. Because we want to see many know You. Lord, I pray for us as well, Lord. We came to a place where that seed grabbed root in our heart. Your word grabbed root. And we've grown, and we may be at that place where we're stagnant, feeling like there's no growth that's taking place. Lord, help us to be reminded today that simply to cling on to You, to focus on You, that the growth is what You do. Not what we do. That we simply just keep continuously making the conditions right. Even when we don't see things. Even when we feel distant from You. So we just thank You, Lord, in Your name. Amen.